Have you ever asked, what is heaven? Is it another dimension, a paradise? Does it really even exist? We're all going to pass from this earth, and knowing what comes next can end the fear of death and bring you peace. Our goal here at Hello Heaven is to answer these questions and many more considering the afterlife. Welcome to our podcast, Hello Heaven. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hello Heaven. It's our podcast. It's our new podcast, and we welcome you to it. I'm Barry Strom, your host. Connie and I have published 10 books about the supernatural, and we have over 600 videos on YouTube. And I will use my gift of spirit communication to bring you information about the afterlife. My gift is definitely of God, and I'll use it to help prepare you for your day of passing and what is to come when you enter heaven.
And I'm Connie Strom, your co-host. Hello Heaven is broadcast on YouTube Live and on Barry's personal page in our Facebook groups. Our most active Facebook group is Words of God Then and Now, and all of our live videos are broadcast in that group. Audios of our broadcasts can be downloaded at helloheaven.podbean.com. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Alexa, and many other audio platforms. We believe that our shows are rather unique and that we bring you information about the afterlife and heaven by speaking with spirits. On Hello Heaven, we would like to encourage listener participation through the use of video calls. If you'd like to participate in this program, send an email to onestrom@gmail.com. Tell us about your questions, with whom you'd like to channel, and what you would like to discuss. Barry will get back to you with the time to make the recording. Last week, we had a rather interesting show in which we spoke with two of our listeners. One asks very interesting questions to which we channeled the answers, and the other listener had personal experiences with the supernatural, one of which was with the interaction with the spirit of the deceased psychic, Sylvia Brown. The show's available on YouTube and podbean.com. We're currently looking for listeners that have had near-death experiences. So if you've had one, please contact us. We'd like to share your experience.
Okay, now, evil energy is very real, and it truly exists in many different forms. As part of our effort to educate our listeners about heaven, we also want to make sure that you're aware of all the evil pitfalls that can alter a life plan. This week, we're going to bring you an interview with the famous exorcist, Sean Whittington. Sean is a Catholic priest, has been performing exorcisms of evil energies for many years. He has seen true evil and has saved many individuals from the dark energies. So it's time. Let's speak with Sean, and I guarantee you this is going to be very interesting. Okay, everybody, it's time for us to talk to our favorite exorcist. Sean Whittington is very famous in his own right. He is now an ordained priest, and he is our very favorite exorcist. So anyway, Sean, welcome to Hello Heaven.
My two favorite para lovebirds on the planet. How are you two doing today?
Love you, Sean. Thanks for joining us today.
Sean, to be honest, we're feeling very old today, but that's
hey, join the club. Join the club.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about all the excitement you've been going through in your life with the church.
Actually, you know, I'm in this weird little, I'm not going to say downtime because there's really no downtime. I'm doing a lot of stuff for the church. United States Old Catholic Church is the church that I am attached to now, ordained through. And if anybody's interested, if anybody's looking for a good church that's no judgment, I mean, when I say we accept everybody, I truly mean that. No judgment. We accept everyone. The website is usocc.org, or you can go to bishopjameslong.com and find out everything you need to know about United States Old Catholic Church. If you're interested in night prayer, they have that every weeknight, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Pacific. The links for that are there. And if you're interested in Bible study, they have that every Wednesday and Sunday afternoons at 5 p.m. Pacific. And also the links for those are there. And they have a wonderful Facebook page called the United States Old Catholic Church Clergy and Parishioners. And you can just join it. We accept everyone. And if it turns out to not be your cup of tea, you can leave the group. But we post a lot of live things there and post. We're very active on the page. And it's just how this happened. Do you want the whole story? How all of this?
It's whatever you want to do. The last thing I'm going to do is tell you to quiet down. So go.
I got two things planned. Something I'm going to do for you guys here in just a minute. This wasn't planned. Actually, I'm going to get this out of the way. This wasn't planned. I was doing some ministry work here earlier in the office here, praying for some people and with some people and doing some other stuff. And I had the caller on, but then I realized, I'm about to sit down and talk with Barry and Connie. I'm gonna go cash tonight, and I just took the caller off. But I noticed sitting right by me here just before we went on, and I realized this was meant to be. I'm doing some changing around some of the things I have hanging up in here, and I want everybody to see this.
Oh, that looks familiar.
This is a beautiful color etching that you two sent me as a gift years ago when we first met. And it is an etching of David versus Goliath. It's beautiful. You guys sent it to me in this beautiful frame. It's from a 1620 Martin Luther Bible. And I'll tell you, this is kind of my, because of what I do, it's my motto. I go through life thinking constantly of David and Goliath and what David was up against. And that's, I've many times people in this field, it's like being in that type of a battle against some of the things that we face. But I want everybody to see what you guys, the beautiful thing you sent me. It's never far from me. And like I said, I'm changing some things around in the office here, and I had sat it down, and I didn't plan that. See how these things happen? But here's what's going on with me. And I'll try not to be a multi-storyteller here. I'm already getting off to a bad start. I'll try and stay focused here. You guys know I was in the show, Eli Roth Presents the Legion of Exorcists, which I didn't have a clue how that came about. Truly landed in my lap. What I found out was a good friend of mine named Joni Mahan, who is a paranormal author, lives on the East Coast. Excuse me, I'm in Las Vegas. She gets a phone call from somebody claiming to be a producer and that they were doing a show on exorcism and deliverance and possession and all that. Did she know anybody that they should talk to? She said she told me the only person she could think to talk to them about was me. And she said, let me check and make sure it's okay for me to give you his number, and I'll get back to you. And I said, well, sure, it couldn't hurt anything. I didn't really think it was going to go anywhere, but she gave him my number. I got the phone call, and the rest is, as they say, history. But, you know, the whole time I was on the set in L.A. filming this show, I kept asking God, why did you landed this in my lap for some reason? It can't just be just because there's a reason. And I knew that he would eventually tell me. Well, I met my bishop, the bishop that laid hands on me, gave me apostolic succession and ordained me to the diaconate and the presbyterate. His name is Bishop James Long. I met him on the set. He was one of the cast members. We really hit it off. We became good friends. And this is after 2 weeks of working with him. It's the end of a day, a long day. And I'm in a trailer, relaxing, waiting to go back to our hotel. He comes walking in the trailer and says, you mind if I have a quick word with you? Before I tell you what he said to me, I remember when I was very young, my mother, may she rest in peace, used to always say to me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I would Spider-Man, football player, policeman, whatever. She would say, I think you should be a priest. And I thought that was the funniest thing. And even as I got older, she would say it to me all the time as I was growing up. And I just thought that was the funniest thing. My mom was, you know, a little on the crazy side, but I loved her to death. Very devout Catholic and very spiritual woman. So here he comes into this trailer, and he says, I just want you to know two things I've learned about you since I've known you for 2 weeks. One, you have a pure heart. And two, I think you would make a great priest. Have you ever thought about becoming a priest? If so, you don't have to answer me now. Go home, talk to your wife. If the answer is yes, I can give you an interview, put you in front of the Council of Bishops and for an interview. And if you're accepted, I can get you into our seminary. And, you know, you've, of course, you've got to graduate. But if you graduate, and I'll ordain you a priest. Well, I didn't tell him at that moment what was going on. I told him later. But when he was talking to me, definitely I felt the Holy Spirit come into the trailer. I think he felt it too. But I could see my mother's face on his face, and I could hear her voice coming through his mouth. And she was Brazilian, so she had a very thick accent. That's voices coming through his mouth, and her face is like on his face. And I knew right then, it hit me like a bolt of lightning. That's why God gave me that show, was to meet him and for that to happen. So I said yes. I entered the seminary, I want to say 2.5+ years ago. I turned the page on all the paranormal stuff and just concentrated on my studies. Because who enters the seminary at 60? Here I am, 60 years old. I was never a very good student anyhow. I knew it would be hard, but God was calling me to it. So I just studied and got through it and recently graduated. And this St. Patrick's Day weekend of all weekends is the retreat. And I was baptized under St. Patrick as my guardian saint and confirmed under him. So just, you know, you can't make that stuff up. That day just fell out of the air too for the retreat. And so I'm now an ordained, with apostolic succession, ordained priest with the USOCC. I also that same weekend took my perpetual vows. I'm also an old Catholic Benedictine of Immaculate Mary. And it's just a life-changing type of thing that just I really can't adequately put into words what I'm feeling, but it's just it's just an incredible thing.
Hey, Sean, has it helped with your exorcisms now that you're a priest?
I haven't had a chance to work one case since my ordination. True story. I have a feeling now that I'm starting to take calls again and putting it out there that I'm going to probably circle around. I just wanted to be a priest. I thought maybe I might just start my ministry, find a good brick and mortar location, get a license out here to do that and do that. But Sharon has a good point. She goes, you know, when you're good at something, when you've been given a gift to do something, that's what you're supposed to do. You and I both know what God intends you to continue to do. So you should probably have a sit down with your bishop and find, you know, what's the next step. And I already know what that is going to be. He has sent me everything. He has sent me his angelology courses, his demonology courses, lots of film footage of exorcisms that he's taken authority over, a lot of private interviews that he's done with himself that he's shared with me. So I think that's obviously going to be the next step. I'm going to get back into that. And I have no doubt that there's going to be some battles. And it's just all about now I'm more of a target than anything. And I've got to stay. I say mass here in my home every day. It's a matter of just really staying in a state of grace all the time, so you're ready.
Have you noticed that you're a bigger target for evil now?
I haven't really noticed anything. I still get the paranormal drive-bys. I still have some things occasionally happen around the house here that lets me know that they're kind of around, they're kind of watching, waiting and seeing how this whole thing's going to turn out. Waiting for me to slip up, waiting to make me to make a mistake. It's all about keeping your house and your camp clean and just staying in a state of grace. There's no room to slip up now, because there's nothing more they would enjoy than to have you slip up and take down a man of the cloth who's truly got, true apostolic succession. You got to be careful.
Sean, tell our listeners a little bit exactly what an exorcist does.
No exorcism is the same. And me, I can't speak for all of every exorcist I know, but me personally, I wake up every morning and pray that I never have to take authority over another or assist in another exorcism again. It's very scary, very dangerous, very ugly thing to witness and very scary battle to be in, because you're not only, somebody's life is usually at stake, somebody's soul is usually at stake. It's a lot of pressure on, the exorcist to not make things worse, to drive out the unclean spirit, to bring the situation to positive closure. So there's a lot at stake, and it's very scary. So having said that, like I said, there's no exorcism is the same, and we're called in when there's absolutely nothing else that can happen. If the person has experienced demonic infestation in their home, and they didn't see the signs, and they allowed it to progress to the oppression stage, and then, God forbid, the possession stage. And now we're dealing with something called complete integration, which we think sometimes certain possessions are so powerful and go on for so long without the client receiving help that eventually their soul gets kind of pushed over and the unclean spirit takes over the vessel. And then you have a living, eating, drinking, breathing, walking around demon in a person's body, which is very scary. And you see some of the evil and violence that people are perpetrating on one another. As you can just turn on the TV and flip any channel on, and you're going to see somebody doing something to somebody that I see things every day on TV that I can't remember in my lifetime ever having seen that type of ugly, evil violence.
Is there such a thing as an evil energy that cannot be exorcised?
I don't believe so. God created them all, and he commands them all. There's some belief systems that think that there are some non-human malevolent or demonic entities, not demons, that never, and even some that did maybe at one time inhabit a human body that had no religious belief system in place and no fear of God. So they don't have any fear of God in the afterlife. And when they haunt and they attach to people, it's very hard to exorcise those entities out. I don't buy into that theory. I believe they're all fallen angels. They're all the demonic. They all work for their master, which is Satan. And like I said, but God is their creator, is their boss. And so if you have the gift of discernment to allow your body to be used as a vessel for those angelic beings to come through and battle for you, then exorcisms go a little easier than you would think. Not to say that they all do. Some can go on for long periods of time and be very ugly, but God's the one in control. I have no magic powers. I don't go in and wave a magic wand and everything's better. Yeah. It's,
Yeah, since God did create good energies, we know that. Why do you think he created bad energies, evil?
Well, I don't think that was his intention. Barry knows probably the answer to that. I don't want to put words in God's mouth. They weren't bad to begin with. Satan was God's number one. He sat on the throne next to God, but his pride got the best of him, and he decided that he wanted to murder God and take over heaven. And that's when the war began. And then you had, he had followers. So they're just fallen angels that chose a side. They were given free will just like we were. And they just chose the wrong side. So I don't think that was the intention in the beginning, but that's just how it turned out.
Yeah. So have you ever done?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Have you ever done an exorcism where the evil energy was the result of some, of another person putting a curse on that person?
I've worked some cases where that was suspected as being the case. Curses are also a very real thing. There wouldn't be as many curses put on people if the people that put the curses on them didn't realize what's going to happen to them. Eventually, you have to pay the bill. You know, you are perverting some type of black magic and conjuring up an evil spirit and a curse to go after somebody. Eventually, they're going to come back and say, okay, now we did you a favor. Now it's time to pay up. And if the more of these people that did that type of stuff knew that that was going to happen, I don't think they would do it. But yeah, I've worked a lot of cases where it was suspected that what happened was a curse put on this person. But in my humble opinion, and of course I could be wrong, I have been before and I will be many times more, I think that 99.9% of the time when you have an attachment target you and then come on in for the kill, I believe it's something that you've done to bring the attention of these things onto you. Sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly, people do things to bring that down on them. And then there's those few, very few incidents where God allows these things to happen because there's something greater that's going to come of them. There's people around a certain individual. First, he knows that this one individual is going to be able to survive the possession. But then he knows that there's people around that individual that need to witness this. They need to witness true evil. Then they need to ultimately witness the glory and power of God deliver that person through these warriors of Christ, the exorcists. And so sometimes when those things happen, I believe it's for a greater purpose.
Is there such a thing as a typical exorcism?
No, they're all different. I've never worked any that mimicked another. That's another scary thing. You've got to go in with eyes wide open, head on a swivel, and be in a state of grace. You got to make sure you know, if you can get the person on hallowed ground, that's great. That's usually hard to do. But before I hope all exorcists do this. I won't assist on one or take authority over one unless I've gone to confession, again, gone to mass, received communion. I won't go to the location and even begin trying to help before doing that. Now that I'm an ordained priest, I just do that here, you know, for myself. You know, I say mass here. I will go into my own deep meditative prayer and speak to God and confess whatever I feel I need to confess to him, although he already knows what my sins are. But then I will say mass, give myself communion, and then go and see what's going on.
When people come to us and they tell us how do you best protect against an evil possession or evil in general, we always tell them that the best protection that they have is a deep belief in God, and they simply have to pray for that protection, and God will intervene, and evil will not enter into their lives. Are we right in that, or should we add something? Or
absolutely, but so many people, humanity as a whole, the reason why the world is so ugly right now and evil is, seems like it's got a stronger foothold in humanity than at any other time that I can remember in my lifetime, is because humanity as a whole has gotten away from God. And that's really, really sad. a lot of people reach out to me for help, and you would think at that point they're ready for anything. Tell me what to do, Father, and I'll just do it. But help me. But that's not always the case. It surprises me when people don't want to, for lack of a better term, buy into what I'm selling and jump on board and do whatever it is I need them to do for me to help them. You know, it's a famous line from the Jerry Maguire movie, help me help you. Sometimes they're not willing to do that. And so I went many, many years in this field so heartbroken every time I had to cut somebody loose. Because the one thing I don't want to do is make things worse. And if they're not 100% on board with the angle I'm coming from and where I need them to be to help them, it's just going to make things worse. So many, I used to have to cut clients loose. And that's a very sad, heartbreaking thing to have to do. But you got to do it. Because like I said, if they're not 100% on board with you, with what you're trying to do to help them, then it just makes things worse. And when things get worse, it affects everybody around them, their family, their close friends, the clergy that are there trying to help. So you just got to be very, very careful. But sometimes you just got to cut people loose. But absolutely, they got to have some type of religious belief system in place. And even if it's they don't want to call it God, they should, at the very least, if they're being truly tormented by true evil, then they need to believe in the opposite of that, that there's some greater power of love and light that's watching over us, orchestrating everything, that they have to tap into and get good with. You know, the old saying, get good with God. They need to get good with that being. Usually they need to really, like I said, they need to change their whole lifestyle. And sometimes they're not ready to do that. I live in Las Vegas, and I get a lot of prostitutes and strippers that come to me for help, adult film stars, and some of them are totally ready to change their lifestyle. Some aren't, because they've been doing it for so long. There's some alcohol and drug addiction going on. They make great money at what they do, and they're being tormented, and they have an attachment, but they're not ready to give that lifestyle up. There's nothing I can do. I have to cut them loose. It's really hard, but you got to do it.
Yeah, we tell them that they truly have to believe that there's no way that you're ever going to fool God. He knows what's in your heart, and if you can voice the words that you truly believe, but he knows what's there, and if you don't actually go through with understanding and having a true belief, that there's very, very little you can do. Do you think an atheist could ever be cleansed of a demonic possession?
It's funny you ask. I have page after page after page in journals where an individual has reached out to me with no religious belief system in place, didn't know what they believed or what they didn't believe, or straight out, I don't believe, who, you know, by the time we're done, they believe. you know, everybody in the end talks to God, you know.
But, yeah, it's like being in a foxhole. There's no such thing as a non-believer in a foxhole.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Hey, Sean, could you describe the worst, most difficult exorcism you ever had to do?
That's pretty simple. And I'll get, you know me, I'll try to get through these stories without getting too emotional. I would have to say at the top of the list was Sharon, my wife, her demonic attack. We went out on a case. This is years before I even got into the delivery ministry biz. I was just a paranormal investigator, a Ghostbuster. And we went and to work a case, and it was the first demonic case we'd ever worked, but we didn't know that. And we made a big mistake, and I'm going to get hate mail for this, but I used a Ouija board at this case. And whatever was there, I believe, used that opportunity to attach to us and follow us home. And whatever this thing was, which was definitely a demonic entity, took residence up in our home here for about 2 months. And my wife, we were both under attack, but my wife was the primary target. And that was a very, very ugly situation. It left before we were able to get help. I reached out into the paranormal community for help, and God bless them, if for once they came through for me, and they introduced me to my then mentor, who's retired now, and she took me under her wing and taught me how to fight this thing out of here. But when it was over and the smoke cleared, Sharon was left with three very rare forms of cancer, a very rare form of tongue cancer, which became another even rarer form of throat cancer, medullary thyroid cancer, which spread into all kinds of lymph nodes in her neck. She wasn't expected to survive. She had a feeding tube in for over a year, couldn't talk for about 8 months, couldn't even swallow water for like 4 months. Went from like, when she first got sick, she was in the neighborhood of about 140 pounds. She got down to about 90. She was in and out of the isolation wards all the time. Many, many, I want to say like 35 plus day after day after day, treatments of radiation, several surgeries. It was ugly. She wasn't expected to survive. And here's this full circle, an atheist story for you. This is one night where I'm convinced I'm going to wake up to a dead woman laying next to me, because it was that bad of a night that she was having. And I was at wit's end. I was 100%. I just knew that she wasn't going to survive. So I'm praying, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And I remembered something my mother did when my father was on his deathbed, dying of spinal meningitis, encephalitis, and a number of other things that he contracted overseas while he was in the Navy. And he was strapped into his bed, actually dying. And I don't advise people to do this, but my mom made a deal with God. And this was what I took a page right out of her book. And I said, she's in bed with two mastiffs. So I'm going to get in the car and drive 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to drive to this all-night prayer chapel around the corner. And I walked in there, got on my hands and knees, and I crawled from the front door all the way to the altar, threw myself on the mercy of the court, if you will. And I just laid there for a couple of hours, praying and talking to whoever would listen. And finally, after so much time had passed by, I just got this feeling it was okay to go home. And I got there about 1 a.m. So now it's about 3 a.m. I'm driving home. And I'm like, you know, God, are you making me feel this way because I'm about to walk in and find Sharon dead? That's okay if it be your will. But is this what's going to happen here? So I walk into the house, you know, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what am I going to see here? Sure enough, thank you, Jesus, she's still praying. She's still breathing. I'm like, oh. My phone starts ringing. I look at the caller ID and it's from New York. I had a best friend who I'd known all my life named Russ. Biggest heart, nicest guy, loved him to death. He just was an atheist. Not a bad guy, great guy, just didn't believe in God. And he's on his deathbed dying from advanced colon cancer. I just spoke to him days before, and I was surprised. Honestly, I was surprised he was still alive. That's how bad he was. But I go, I better answer. Maybe it's a family member telling me that he passed. I answer the phone. It's my friend Russ. And he sounds so good. I'm like, brother, talk to me. What's going on? He goes, I needed to call you because I just saw God. And God wanted me to tell you that Sharon's going to live and you need to continue fighting those responsible. And I've told his family this after he had passed, and they were all so truly and genuinely, you know, happy that he found God at the very end, or God came to visit him. But he didn't lie to me. See, I had left. I was so afraid for my wife's life and wanted to help her fight, didn't expect her to survive. I didn't want to come under attack again. I left the ministry. I wasn't going to return. So that was God telling me, we have your back and you need to get back up on the horse. This is what you're meant to do. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, Sharon made a miraculous turnaround. And within a year's time, she was talking relatively normal, eating relatively normal. The feeding tube came out. She's been taking twice a year, two full body CTs and MRIs show no metastasis of the disease anywhere. There you go. So I went, jumped back into the training because my mentor wanted me to be, she saw something in me I didn't see in myself and said, I think you're being called to this. But I backed out of the training. I didn't want to do it anymore because I'm like, God, I'm not cut out to do this. I'm not up for this. Just, you know, help me help Sharon until I can't help her any longer and then show me where I go. Well, he showed me all right. And you don't say no to God.
No.
No, you don't.
No, we've we were trying to get the spirit of Robin Williams to come on to talk about suicide. And I asked Laura if you know, if we could get Robin. And she said, no, he doesn't want to come on. So a couple weeks later, I said, we'd really like to get Robin on. Do you think he'd be able to make it? And she said, yes, he's ready now. So Robin comes on. And I said, we were talking. He said, what makes you change your mind? And he said, well, when the big guy tells you to do something, you do it.
Yeah.
So it's very, you know, real.
Your whole life, even when you cross over and you're in heaven, you still have free will.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, by that time, by that time, yeah, you know.
Yeah. You know. Yes. Yes. I mean, the healing powers of God are unbelievable. We had one of our group members was coming on to Hello Heaven. He had a whole bunch of questions he wanted to ask and have channeled answers. And he said, my mother's in the hospital and they've just called and said that she's not going to make it through the day. So I said, well, let me say this special prayer for you and see if we can't, you know, see what God really wants here. I talked to him Saturday and she's coming home from the hospital. So instead of passing on that day, and there's no other explanation, but God decided it was going to give her a little bit more time, and the prayer directed his energies to her, and she's coming home from the hospital instead of passing. Wow, so the miracles are absolutely amazing, which we both know.
You got to somehow, as hard as it is, you have to, some people that cross your path and need help, you have to do whatever you need to do to somehow convince them that there is power in prayer and there is power in faith.
Oh, it's phenomenal. People just don't understand. But it's phenomenal when you truly believe. You have to, if you have a faith foundation, the odds are a lot better that you're going to get the favor you're asking for. At least that's my belief of it. But,
you would know.
Yeah, you can say that. have you ever seen evil in physical form?
I would have to say, you know, if what I've seen that was pure evil in physical form, the few times I've seen it, if it wasn't pure evil in physical form, then I am in the wrong business. Yeah. That's what we're dealing with now. Cases where we think the person has gone under full possession, wasn't able to get the help they needed in time, and too much time had gone on. The demonic entity either was too powerful or came with many friends, and collectively that group has completely taken over that vessel. The person's still in there. They can't get the soul out of there. The soul is just trapped and shoved off and, you know, put away somewhere, and this vessel has now been taken over by evil entities, the demonic. And so I think we're seeing that more and more, and that's very scary.
Do you think entire countries can be taken over by evil energies?
I believe so.
I think we're seeing it today. That was a loaded question.
Yeah. Well, humanity as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean, just like I said, in my lifetime, I've never seen things like we're seeing now.
No. We just did a really interesting show last night on our channeling history. We channeled four World War II Medal of Honor winners. their spirits, four different ones. And they talked about, I mean, we told their stories, and the spirits came through and talked about the events and a bunch of other things. But it was just, I mean, it was a very, very serious show last night. It was one of our better ones, but it was what these guys did, several of them had given up their lives in the event. We asked all of them if they would do it again. And every one of them said unequivocally, because the most important thing was saving those to the right and left of me. So amazing, amazing, yeah. Amazing attitudes out there from these guys.
Yes.
So anyway, thank you so much. Take a couple moments here and tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Is our time already up? How long have we been doing this?
Almost about 40 minutes. You can talk. If you got something else you want to say, go for it. One thing about this format is we have absolutely no time restrictions.
What's going on with me? Well, I finally had to retire. You know, I get a small amount of Social Security. You guys know that's nothing. Because I used to be, I'm a veterinary technician. I'm 64 years old. You know, that's a young person's game. You have these people that are, you know, teenagers, early 20s, 30 tops, wrestling the big animals all day long, blood draws, x-rays, assisting in surgeries. And it just got too hard for me to do it on a competitive level anymore and be a really good member of the team. So, you know, I'd known the owner for over 20 years, and it was just, you know, we both kind of agreed that, yeah, you know. So I retired.
Not to mention you were a full-time student.
Yeah. Sharon's the only one bringing home a paycheck, and, you know, 16 years older than me. She works sun up to sundown 6 days a week. God bless her. I don't know how she does it, but she's the only one bringing home a steady paycheck. So this is what I tell everybody. I don't charge for my ministry work. If you want to help my ministry out, go to my website, which is www.ghost-b-gone.biz. There they'll find a lot of cool things. They'll find both my books, God, Ghosts, and the Paranormal Ministry. And I'm embarrassed to even hold up two books when you've got, what, like 20?
Ten.
God, Ghosts, and the Paranormal Ministry, and God, Ghosts, and the Paranormal Ministry 2. If you get them off my website, you can get them cheaper at Amazon. But if you get them off my website, they leave my office, and I autograph them and close them in a house blessing kit. And also on the website is my online course, Introduction to Spiritual Warfare. You can enroll in it there if you want more information about the course before you make that type of commitment. You can go to the Sean Whittington's Introduction to Spiritual Warfare course Facebook page and read about the course. But that's a true course. There's no other course like it and no other instructor like it. And I'm the instructor in the field today. And this course is for all you true warriors for Christ that want to learn how to draw your line in the sand, make a stand, circle the wagon, put up a good fight, the fight of your life, perhaps, against true evil if it ever comes calling. That's the course for you. All my students get a stunning diploma, certificate of completion, along with some of the very special blessed items that you can only get from yours truly. And there's a place also on the website where you can make an appointment to speak with me about your spiritual issues, not paranormal, but spiritual issues. And so that's my website, my church, United States Old Catholic Church, usocc.org, or bishopjameslong.com. Our churches could always use a lot of help. If you want to go there and donate to the church that I'm attached to, that would be great too. And my show is Sean Whittington's Paranormal Ministry Live 2.0, and that is on Facebook Live and YouTube Mondays and Fridays. And what else?
What are you doing with your spare time?
Snacking when the wife's not here, because she's had me on Nutrisystem for a couple of years now. Whenever I get a chance to be sneaky and snack, when I do, but I nothing really changes for me. I'm kind of a homebody, you know, and I enjoy what I do. I enjoy the ministry work, and I enjoy talking to people and praying for people and praying with people and helping them with their not only paranormal issues but spiritual issues. And I belong to a new group now called the Society of Saint Benedict, and we are a specialized team that works just for the church investigating cases of suspected demonic possession and verifying if they are indeed that or if they're something else. And they have a website too. And what else do I do? I try to be a great husband. Sharon deserves better. And she's a minister in the Lutheran church. But, you know, we're both homebodies. We try to get out a little bit here and there. But like I said, we're homebodies.
Well, you're an inspiration for us. I mean, that's...
And when am I going to get you guys back? When are you guys coming back on my show?
Whenever you want.
Wait a minute.
We're easy.
I thought I had booked you guys. Do you mind me putting your feet to the fire while we're live?
No, go ahead.
Okay. You know what? Do you mind? I don't know if you want to book all the way out to September.
I may not even be alive in September the way things are going.
I'm not letting you go anywhere until I'm done with you. I've got a long way to go until I'm done with the two of you. My two favorite paranormal lovebirds on the planet. You guys ain't going nowhere. I pray for you guys all the time, and you know I do.
Yes,
so sorry. You're not going anywhere. I thought I had dates earlier, but it looks like I'm booked out to the end of August.
I don't know if you guys want to,
nothing compared to what you got. You guys, what, three shows now? Three?
Four.
Four critically acclaimed popular shows doing great. 10 books, all world-renowned, critically acclaimed bestsellers. You know, I am in awe and a little bit jealous, I'll be honest, of you.
I'll tell you, I'm going to be 82 in August. So I can also tell you that this train is starting to slow down.
If you don't mind booking that far out, because by the time we get there, it'll be booked. I'll throw you some dates after the show's over. I'll get you on there. I'm surprised you guys aren't booked earlier than that. And God, forgive me for not having you guys booked earlier. Because every time you guys are on my show, it's just one message after another, after another, after another, after the show's over, coming in, how much people love you. So shame on me for not having you guys coming on sooner than September. But I'll throw you some dates. Let's get you in there. And if I get some cancellations before then, I'll pull you guys on. Yeah, but I got to get you guys back.
We can generally help you short notice. And we'll forgive you for holding us off till September.
Okay.
It's okay.
You know, I love you both, and I respect you both, and I wouldn't have missed tonight for the world, and I'm just glad I got a chance to catch up and chat, and you guys are, like I said, two of the most very special people in my life and on this planet, so you're not going anywhere anytime soon.
All right.
Thank you, Sean. You're so sweet.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on, and I guarantee you we'll do it again.
God bless you both and everyone else. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Goodbye.
Bye, Sean. Thank you.
Okay. There you got it. That's the one and only Sean Whittington. One of a kind, but a true, true servant of God. Thank you, Sean. Evil energy can be absolutely terrifying, as you've pointed out to us. I can assure that exorcisms are sometimes better left, are often better left, the individuals that know what they're doing. And I can also assure you that Sean is one of the best. And along with that, there's no chance of me getting involved with one.
I'm amazed at how many of our listeners have had supernatural encounters with the other side. Next week, we'll be bringing you an interview with a listener from the Middle East that has questions concerning the Muslim faith. We'll be channeling the Prophet Muhammad to answer her questions. It's going to be an outstanding show.
Yes, she is taking some real chances, and she's going to be bringing us some great information. Short commercial. My 10th book, Messages of the Archangels, is now available for purchase. We brought it out in audiobook, ebook, softcover, and hardcover. All of those different choices are available on Amazon. If you want a signed copy, you have to go to my website. It's barrystrom.com. And I would be more than happy to sign one and give you a little personal message. We're all very excited about this new release. Connie and I have channeled over 20 archangels through the years, and we're bringing their actual channeled messages. There aren't many people out there that can say they truly have been able to speak with the angels. Subject matter of all of my books covers everything from spirits on the Gettysburg battlefield. I've written 2 books about aliens. I've written a book about conspiracies. It's incredibly interesting, and I know that you would enjoy. Check them out. I think that they would truly improve your life.
I'd like to thank you for listening to our podcast, Hello Heaven. Please tell your friends about our shows. They're all meant to prove the existence of the afterlife and improve your life and take away any fears that anybody might have had about the passing on. We will all face that day of passing, and the more you know, the less you fear that day. If you'd like to see a video as you listen, please join us on YouTube Live or Facebook Live on Barry's personal page and in our Facebook groups on Fridays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. The audio of our shows can be heard on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Alexa, Spotify, iHeart, and all the major platforms.
So I want to thank you for listening to Hello Heaven. As I said, it's our new podcast, and we need help telling others about it. Word of mouth is by far the best way of reaching new listeners. And the more people we reach, the more people we can help. We'll be posting the podcast on our live streaming channels and all of our audio platforms at 6 p.m. Pacific time on Fridays. So please tell your friends about our show. It's the best way to find out about it. Goodbye. Make sure you don't miss next week. It's going to be a very, very special show with our guests from the Middle East. So thank you for listening, and we will return to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Hello Heaven. Please join us Fridays at 6 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube and Facebook. You can hear us on multiple audio platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Alexa, and other media platforms as well. If you'd like to appear on the show, send an email to onestrom@gmail.com and tell us your story. Have a great week. Tell your friends about our show. They'll thank you for it. Music is by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com.